Therefore, since through God's mercy, we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believed, therefore I have spoken." Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. This is the word of the Lord. Who are we in Christ? How does one discover who they are? If you ask my lovely wife, Vaughn, I'm sure she could tell you who I am not. And at the top of that list of things that I am not is a handy person. Now, all my life, I wanted to be a handy person. I wanted to be that guy that was great with tools and knew how to fix things. But I can tell you, over the last 20 years of my repairing career, everything that I have put together has broken or became unrepaired. Knowing all this, I still try. I had a dream once, a couple years ago, I was going to buy some furniture for my house and put it all together by myself. I was gonna buy a bed set type of thing, a dresser, and one of those desks with a mirror for my daughter so she can like sit down and brush her hair. Don't know what it's called. But this is true story. I'm letting you into my inner thoughts. I did have this dream. And this was a wonderful dream. So I was going to go Saturday morning to IKEA and pick up these items that I had dreamt about. And in my dream, I came back that afternoon and worked on putting together these items, the dresser, the bed, and the thing that I don't know what it's called. And I was going to spend 2 afternoons doing this. And at the end, my daughter was going to say, "Oh, Dad, you're the best dad ever," which never gets old. And my wife was going to say, "You finally put something together right." So, following my dreams, I went to IKEA that Saturday morning, picked up the items that I wanted to purchase, and then brought it back to my house. And when afternoon came, I said, "It's time to go to work." So I opened the first box. It was the bed. And my dream suddenly turned to a nightmare. I never seen so many pieces in my life fit in one small, tiny box. So what I had planned to take 2 afternoons, shamefully, I admit, it took me about 2 months. My repairing privileges were suspended by my wife. The dresser that I had purchased, as punishment, I had to take back to IKEA and tell them, "You all have to put this together." What made me do this? When my life, through my experiences, I've never been able to put things together. I was seeking approval. I was seeking approval for my daughter. I was seeking approval for my wife. Some of us find our identity in seeking approval from others. Some of us find our identity in material things or even accomplishments. It's troubling when you are not putting your identity in Christ. It's even more concerning when you're putting your identity in other things and you don't know that you are doing it. Throughout the summer, Pastor Hine has unfolded the story about the people of Corinth, the messy Christianity. During Apostle Paul's mission trip, he was kind of needed to flee the scene, and he landed in Corinth. There, he shared the gospel, and people became believers. So after spending some time there, he left. And when he left, the Corinthians wrote him a letter. In the letter, they shared with him questions and concerns that they were having. That these are Christians. And they were having questions and concerns on how to get along and live amongst one another. I guess today you could say, now, Corinth was a thriving city, a city doing well. And you could say that there are cities and churches doing well. But as it was for them, it's the same for us. We still have trouble getting along with one another. As Christians, our identity is misplaced. As Pastor Hine was going over the different sermons, and as I was studying, reading the letter of 1 Corinthians, it came to me that who and what we decide to identify with, if it's not Christ, there are going to be problems. We know the truth, just as they knew the truth. That's why we can call ourselves Christians. But sometimes we place our identity in other things. And when Jesus is not the center of our daily lives, there could be trouble behind that. Sometimes we push Jesus to the outskirts, maybe just because it's convenient for us. When Jesus should be at the front of our thoughts, we push him to the back of our minds. Sometimes we push him out the picture completely. This can weaken our faith. This can lead us to brokenness. So how do you and I, as Christians, keep Jesus at the center of our thoughts and actions? I have three things. I don't have any slides, though. This is like pretty nerve-wracking enough up here. And to have to deal with slides at this talk and have to deal with slides at the same time, I just don't think I could have pulled it off. How do we, as Christians, keep Jesus at the center of our thoughts and actions? One, we repent. Easier said than done. And that's going to be a theme. I have a daughter who, for her birthday, some years back, about 4 or 5 years back, she received two gift cards, a gift card from Walmart and a gift card from Toys R Us. She was excited. She was about 5, I think, at the time. And before we decided to go shopping, I told Sharon, okay, tomorrow we are going shopping. Here's the game plan. I found a Toys R Us and a Walmart that are closely located to one another. What we're going to do is we're going to go to the Toys R Us. We're going to take inventory. We're going to see what they have. Jot down the things that you want, mark down some prices, and then we're going to drive up the street to Walmart. We're going to compare prices. We're going to be some smart shoppers. And then once we have our list and once we have our prices, we're going to buy the things that you want at Walmart, and then we're going to go back to Toys R Us and get the rest of the things so you can spend both of your gift cards and you can stop worrying me. I should have known I was in a little bit of trouble when at the end of this pep talk, Sharon said, "So let me get this straight, Dad. We're going to go to Toys R Us twice in one day?" I said, "Yes, Sharon, but that's because we have a plan." I shared with her the plan the next morning. I even shared the plan with her while we were in the parking lot of Toys R Us. So we entered the toy store. We did our shopping. About 5-10 minutes into the shopping, "Dad, I want this and I want this." And I'm like, "Sharon, we had a plan. We didn't even get to Walmart yet." She said, "Dad, I know what I want." Okay. So we buy the toys and then we head to Walmart. And she's shopping, and she's noticing, yeah, they got some of the same toys, and wow, I could have got this over there if I would have waited. And I said, "Hurry up so we can get going. And by the way, we no longer need to go back to Toys R Us because you spent your money on your first trip." So we got the toys from Walmart, and we got in the car. And as we're driving home, she said to me, "Dad, what happened to me back there?" And I was like, "Well, what do you mean?" She was like, "I'm not sure. It's just, it's real confusing. And I said, okay. We drove in silence for a while. And she said, Dad, I got it. I know what happened. I think I lost my mind. And I was like, I couldn't stop from laughing, but she was real serious. But imagine a five-year-old. No one says that they lost their own mind. Usually someone says that about you. And she's five. So I said, can you please explain? Well, she said, you told me three times the plan. And I remembered the plan. And I really was listening to you. But when we got inside Toys R Us, it's like all that information left my brain. It was lost. And I said, wow. Well, I was saying, based on your explanation, I agree, you did lose your mind. The Bible has given you and I more than enough instructions on what to believe and how to treat one another. Sometimes we as Christians are going to lose our mind. We're going to forget who we are and who we should be representing at all times. We're going to place our identity in other things and in other people other than our Savior. For most of us, we later will remember. And at these times, we should be asking the Lord for forgiveness, for forgetting about Him, or for placing things ahead of Him. And thankfully, we will be forgiven. The God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ. When we make mistakes, we are losing ourselves in the world. We are looking for an outwardly gain. We start measuring ourselves by the world's standards. In the Gospel of Mark, it says, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? How do we keep Jesus at the center of our thoughts and actions? It's through communication. We have to read the Bible and we have to pray. We have to find out what God is trying to tell us through His Word. We have to ask Him for help and guidance through prayer. We also have to ask Him to place people around us, a community of believers who we can confide in and who we can trust. And just as important as it is to have some people in your life, it's just as important to know what people do not belong in your life. If your relationships are causing your faith to weaken, if it's becoming more about you or them than it is about God, that might be a good time to step aside and let God do the heavy lifting. But you will not know this, or it's going to be hard to understand this, if that communication line between you and our Father is not open. It's going to be hard for you to grasp and know what to do if your identity is in something else other than Christ. Easier said than done. How do we keep Jesus at the center of our thoughts and our actions? We live for Christ. You and I put a great deal of time into our jobs, our families, and our relationships. So much that sometimes we want those things to identify us. But there is something special that has been given graciously to us, and that's the Holy Spirit. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine in," for God said, who said, "Let light shine in out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all surpassing power is from God and not from us. Are we using our time wisely based on the power that has been given to us? I have a daughter, Rana, who plays basketball, and I do some volunteer coaching throughout the year here. My daughter and I, we play every other day, and the season that I coach usually lasts a couple of months. Now, spending the time with my daughter or those kids, I value that. That's very precious. And working hard at your job, spending time on your family, or growing relationships, those are all great things. But when we do those things, we are managing our time. We are making time to do those things. Are you making the same time for our Savior? I plan things every day. For a long time, it was just plan, go. And I would come to church every Saturday or every Sunday. But there was an unbalance. I was being spread out and not the right way. Things went into other things. My time went into other things. My energy and my efforts went into other things. And although I found it important to teach my daughter and other kids how to play basketball, I need to find it just as important to them to share the word of God. At the end of our text, the Apostle Paul shares some comforting words. Because a lot of the things we have to offer are going to go away. Our bodies and our minds are going to go through some pain. Mentally and physically, we will lose form. Life is going to be challenging as we go through these stages. Even more challenging is not knowing who you are or getting the proper guidance. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. For our light and our momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Things of this world are going to come and go. Nothing about us is going to last but the Spirit that has been graciously given to us. So we find our identity in Christ because our Savior loves us and has made a huge sacrifice for us. Jesus died for the sins of the world. He has defeated death, and he has given you and I the victory. You and I should want to identify ourselves with Jesus. We should ask for forgiveness when we temporarily find our identity in other things and not him. We should try every day to live for Jesus. Our reward will be great and well worth it. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Find your identity in Christ. Amen.
This message was a production of St. Marcus Lutheran Church. For similar content, subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or our YouTube channel. For more information about how to support our urban gospel ministry in Milwaukee, please visit stmarcus.org.